Right now, the midterm elections are just over 2 months away. Candidates in Wisconsin are working to appeal to both young people and those outside of Madison and Milwaukee.
One journalist decided to find out how those voters are feeling by visiting with millennials in Eau Claire and Oshkosh. She found that enthusiasm for politics is running high, but many don't fit neatly within party lines.
Jessie O'Poyan is a political reporter for the Capital Times. Her recent piece on this is called Engaged, Excited, Enigmatic. Jessie, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So when you were working up the idea for the story on millennial voters, why did you want to look at Oshkosh and Eau Claire in particular?
Sure. So as a millennial myself, I am a little tapped into what's going on with this. But, you know, Eau Claire, I think, is a city that's gotten a lot of attention in the last year or two in terms of just being sort of a up-and-coming it city on the rise in the Midwest. It's affordable. There's a good arts community. Mm-hmm. There is a sort of burgeoning tech scene. And so that seemed like a natural fit. It's also in the more west-central part of the state, mm-hmm. which is a little bit more enigmatic, I think, to politicians who are trying to figure out where to find their support. Oshkosh was a good fit, really, because it's kind of on the opposite side of the state. It's similarly sized to Eau Claire. They're both in the sort of 65 to 68,000 population range. Both have a millennial-ish population that's a little bit more exaggerated than the rest of the state. And according to a mortgage data tracking firm, millennials have been buying more homes in the Oshkosh area than in other parts of the state. So it seemed like a good fit to take a look at those two cities that are a little bit outside of the Madison bubble, have probably more people in the 18 to 39 population range, and who are kind of moving there for, you know, fun reasons at this point.
It also sort of seems as though they're bucking that millennial myth, it seems, in these towns. And what's interesting is throughout your article, it seemed as though the 2016 general election was pretty pivotal for a lot of these folks. It sounded like they were getting into local government themselves. This was not just voting, it was actually getting involved. What kind of things are they doing?
Yeah, the 2016 election was interesting because it was a pivot point, and I think it was a pivot point for people on both sides of the aisle. Mm-hmm. You know, I talked to some conservatives who weren't really paying attention to politics before that election, and they're becoming a little more engaged. And then I talked to a lot of liberal voters who, you know, follow the election. A lot of them, I would say, were probably Bernie Sanders supporters early on, then maybe became Hillary Clinton supporters, and then were very dismayed by the outcome of the election when Donald Trump won. And particularly in Eau Claire, I talked to a group of people who are in their young 20s to mid 30s who have run for the school board, run for city council, run for county board, and not all of them entirely inspired by the 2016 election, but many of them really inspired directly by that. They may have started participating in grassroots organizations that were just kind of looking for ways to advocate and become active in politics, or they may have just thought, you know, I got to start somewhere. But there's a sense, I think, that at the local level, your voice isn't diluted, I think, is the way that one of the women that I spoke with put it, where you have this ability to make a direct impact, but also in these communities that aren't tiny, you can sort of see that impact felt around the state.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting while reading through all of the stories from the people that you talked to that said, I wanted to get involved, and I see my most direct way is getting involved basically at the ground floor in terms of government, as it were, that they didn't have these huge aspirations of suddenly running for Senate or something like that.
Right. They're realistic, and they're looking to see, you know, where can we make a change one way or the other? And, you know, there was a young conservative man that I spoke with who had sat through some recent, like, you know, city council committee hearings just because he was interested in that process. And then, you know, a woman who had run for the city council just after the 2016 election, because they took a look and they said, well, we're not really represented in local government. I think a lot of the times when you look around at local government, you do tend to see an older generation in that seat. So people are starting to change that at the younger level.
We are talking to Jessie O'Poyan right now. She's a political reporter with the Capital Times. She recently wrote a piece looking at younger voters, millennials, who are getting involved both with local government and just getting more involved in politics in general in Eau Claire and Oshkosh. And when you asked people about the issues that were getting them interested in politics, what were some common ones that, you know, came up?
Sure. So on the Democratic or liberal side, I would say healthcare was a big one. A lot of the younger Democratic women that I spoke with named abortion access or just reproductive health in general. That may be even a change or a shift in recent months as there's been more focus on what the Supreme Court would do on those grounds. The environment is something that came up on both sides of the aisle, and I think there is a little bit of common ground there in terms of wanting to protect Wisconsin's natural resources. That was definitely something for the conservative side. Protecting access to gun rights and Second Amendment rights was something. Student debt was something that came up a little bit. A lot of people had different ideas on how they wanted to approach that, but those were a lot of the common threads that we heard about.
So you just gave us some examples of, you know, how some folks are leaning ideas that they're, you know, that are percolating in their heads of what they'd like to see changed. And, you know, frequently with political conversations, it seems to be squarely, you know, the red box or a blue box, and there's no real in between. But did you find that it was that polarized with the people you talked to?
It was interesting. I think in terms of how are these people going to vote at the end of the day, it does sort of speak to that polarization and that people are pretty set in the fact that they are probably going to support the party that they've supported in the past. Democrats are pretty firmly entrenched in their Democratic beliefs, although a few that I talked to said they're not opposed to the idea of voting for a Republican. It's just that they haven't seen Republicans come along lately that they're particularly willing to support. On the conservative side of things, most of the people that I spoke with were also pretty firmly entrenched in voting on Republican lines, but the environment was something that came up with a few of them in terms of an area where they felt like their party had kind of failed them a little bit. The Foxconn deal was another one that some conservatives that I interviewed were very supportive of, and others felt like it was maybe not in line with their party's ideology. And there were Democrats that I interviewed who were a little more optimistic about Foxconn than some of their counterparts. So I think some of those things, I you know, when it comes to topics or issues, ideas, they can cross over a little bit, but it did seem pretty clear that people were going to still keep voting along the lines that they were used
along
to.
Along those lines.
Yeah.
All right. We are talking with Jessie Opoyan right now. She's a political reporter for the Capital Times about what she's hearing from millennial voters in Eau Claire and Oshkosh.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you're a young voter anywhere in the state, what issues are most important to you? Do you consider yourself a member of one of the two major parties? Why or why not? Are you involved in government yourself? And if you're not a millennial, what impact do you see young people having on our politics? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We're picking up our chat with Jessie Opoyan, political reporter for the Capital Times. We're talking about her conversations with young voters in Eau Claire and Oshkosh.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you are in your teens, 20s, or 30s, what issues are on your mind at the voting booth? Do you consider yourself firmly on the left or the right, or do you find yourself somewhere in the middle? And if you're an older voter, how do you think young people are shifting the political conversation? Call in now at 800-642-1234. Again, that's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. I want to go to a caller really quickly. We have Mike in Madison. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
And what did you, what's the issue that's at the top of your mind?
Well, it's more than, I was once a millennial, but anyway, I'm in my 60s now, but I was an environmentalist in college, and I would like them to distinguish between environment and climate change or global warming, because climate change or global warming is much, much more than just an environmental issue. It's a health issue. It's a existence type, or it's everything.
And Mike, thank you so much for that call. And that is a conversation that does come up, that you can have people who say, I'm interested in the environment because I want there to be trees, or I want to be able to hunt. It's a conservation level. Or people who are like, we need to have more regulations because we don't want greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. Were people more specific with you when they talked about this as an issue?
Yeah, you know, it varied. I think one thing that I do think was on the mind of a lot of people was sort of the way a lot of these issues do sort of intersect with each other, where, you know, healthcare sort of intersects with all of these issues. Mm-hmm. And certainly the environment is part of that, and it's the world that we live in. So, you know, one of the Republicans, or the, I guess he was more of a conservative leaning libertarian who votes Republican, but one of the things that he talked about is where he really isn't on board with having a lot of government regulation, with the exception of the environment. Mm-hmm. He felt like this is the one area where government really should step in and take protections and do a little bit better, not just because of the tourism aspect, but just sort of the general health of us. And certainly we are having conversations like that now with the yeah. flooding that we're seeing. So, yeah.
Let's go back to our calls. We have Scott in Whitewater. Hi, Scott.
Hi. I am pretty excited for the youth vote. I'm in my mid-40s, and I have talked to more than a handful of high school age, getting ready to vote, young college kids, just starting their first year of college. And these people know what referendums are. I had no clue what that was when I was in high school. They've talked about the Supreme Court. They discussed the balance of power at the state level and the federal level. And say what we want about millennials and whatever your politics are, it's very different with the president of the United States today than we've ever seen in most of our lifetimes. And it wasn't millennials that sent that person there. They're very in tune. Their high schools have been affected by the budgets in Wisconsin. They've seen classes. They've seen programs cut. They've seen their schools not being able to stay open in some cases. So they're very in tune to how politics affect their lives.
Scott, thank you so much for that call. And so, you know, Scott is looking at the state level about changes that have happened here, not just federally. And we talked a little bit earlier about polarization, but how has state policy impacted how the people you talked to wanted to get involved?
That's a great question. I'll look to Eau Claire for that, where I interviewed the 24-year-old president of the local school board, which just blows my mind. And he talked about passing a referendum. He talked about, you know, the support that they could drum up in the community for things like that. And there a woman that I spoke with on the city council who was on the older end of the spectrum in her mid to late 30s, who is working with her community on getting them more engaged in terms of getting them to show up at meetings and turn out to talk about, you know, local development and standards that they want to have for things like that. So I think, you know, people are paying attention to not only what the state does, but also how they can either interact with that or push back on that or supplement that at the local level.
Let's go back to our calls really quickly. We have Jack in Madison. Hi, Jack.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
And what did you want to talk about?
Well, I just wanted to put it out there. You know, I'm a 27-year-old. I live in Madison. I went to college, and I really started becoming involved with the Republican Party through the College Republicans at school where I went in Minnesota. And, you know, I think it's kind of a jaded perspective to say that there's not a lot of millennials that agree with what our current president is doing. You know, there's plenty of people in my circle that agree with that, and around campuses around the country. You know, I think that a lot of the high school students, like you guys have talked about, you know, have a different experience than I went through. There certainly wasn't as many, you know, issues. I wasn't in tune with them then. But there are plenty of young people that are conservative and have fiscal conservative views. You know, and it is a viewpoint that is out there, and I don't think that it gets talked about enough.
Jack, thank you so much for that call. And, you know, some of the people you talked to, just like Jack, weren't simply, you know, invigorated just because they didn't agree with the outcome of the 2016 election. Some of them were extremely on board with, you know, what was happening with the Trump administration. You know, what did you find when you did talk to these folks that, like Jack, support the current administration?
Yeah, Jack makes a great point. I mean, there are as many people, well, maybe not as many, but you know, there are certainly as a good chunk of people who are energized by the 2016 election because of the outcome that was positive to them. So, you know, a gentleman that I spoke with in Eau Claire, he's 24 years old. He didn't pay attention to politics until that election, until Donald Trump emerged from that Republican primary, and he liked everything that mm-hmm. he had to say. He's a fiscal conservative. He believes that government should, by and large, stay out of the way in a lot of things, and he thinks that things are going really well based on that administration. And the other interesting thing that I found was there are also conservatives who don't particularly care for the president's tweets, or they don't particularly care for maybe the way that he's phrased some things or approached some things in his temperament, but they are on board with what the administration is doing. They feel like the economy is doing well. The U.S. is generally in a good position. And so there were a good handful of people that I spoke with who maybe didn't like one or two things or a handful of things that the president had said along the way, but by and large supported what his administration has accomplished.
Now, it seems like no matter what the political leaning is, people still had a sense that voting and getting involved was extremely important to them, and that they felt as though they wanted to get other people involved. Why do you think that among these folks there's been this level of engagement?
I think it's maybe the natural end result of all of the years of people thinking, well, my vote doesn't matter, and seeing any number of cases where a vote or two votes or 15 to 20 votes would make the difference. And so I heard that point made by people on both sides of the ideological spectrum. One of the most conservative people I interviewed, one of the most liberal people I interviewed, both essentially said the same thing to me. And that is, they get discouraged when they hear people saying, my vote doesn't count, my vote doesn't matter, I can only, I'm only one person. And when you think about that adding up over time to a handful of people or hundreds of people, it can tip the scales and it can make the difference. And I think there is a growing sense of that, regardless of how anyone feels about the way elections have turned out in recent years, I think it's become clear that those handfuls of votes do make the difference.
Jesse, thank you so much for joining us to talk about this today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
Jesse Opoyan is a political reporter for the Capital Times. So she was with us to talk about what she heard from millennial voters during visits to Oshkosh and Eau Claire.